I went to a pastor's conference a while back, and one of the young pastor got up in front of all these pastors, and it was kind of having like a little birthday party for one of the pastors. He was turning 50 years in the ministry for the Lord, and he said, "I don't know what you old preachers preached about 50 years ago," and it kind of put a thing in my mind of what was I thinking about? You know, 50 years ago, I was 12 years old 50 years ago. I didn't do anything wrong 50 years ago. What did preachers preach about 50 years ago? There wasn't no sin, right? All the sins coming out of the closets now, and from behind the barns and the haylofts. We didn't see it then, but it was still prevalent, right? And they still had sin, and we still had the Bible, and the Bible was the same yesterday, today, and forever. Everything we have in our Bible now was in the Bible in the 50s as well as the 20s and the 30s, the whole time we were coming up, and it teaches the same thing. It teaches the same Word of God as it did 35, 40, 50 years ago. And he was saying, well, the worst thing on TV was I Dream of Jeannie. He couldn't think of the girl's name, but everybody in the church remembered her. That's what's so bad about that. And then I started thinking about a bunch of old shows that I was watching, Tarzan and the Beverly Hillbillies and the Barney Fife with one bullet gun. I think, you know, things has really changed in America since then. Brother Tom, you really got me messed up tonight. I was hoping that Brother Artis was going to do the prayer request, and I was going to talk about Brother Artis tonight. But he didn't do the prayer request, but I'm still going to talk about that a little bit before I get started in the message. I don't know if you really thought about it a lot, but when they had the World Trade Center bombing and all the tragedies in America, you get all the people coming on TV and praying for America, praying for the things that's going bad in America and the things that's going wrong in America. And when you want somebody to pray for you, I don't know about you, but I don't think I'd want some of the people that was getting on TV and praying. I don't want one of them people to pray for me. Because I don't think, for number one, I don't think God would hear their prayers. He hears their prayers, but he won't answer them because they're not Christians. And on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, they're somewhere else besides at church. They're in a bar room or a beer joint somewhere, and they're not doing what they're supposed to do as a child of God. They're not doing what they're supposed to do as a Christian. So I wouldn't want one of these people to pray for me. And when everything you hear in schools nowadays, we need to get prayer back in schools, We need to get prayer back in our homes. Our homes need prayer. Our fathers in our homes need to pray. Our grandfathers and our children need to pray in our homes. We don't need it in the schools that bad. If we get it in our homes, it'll eventually get back to the schools. And who would pray at the school football games anyway? The football coach that gets out there and cusses the football players out all the time. I wouldn't want that. Brother Artis, I was going to say something to you about your prayer. I would rather Brother Artis to pray for me than George Strait. I know the Lord answers Brother Arthur's prayers. You know why? Because he's committed to the Lord. He loves the Lord. He wants to do what the Lord wants him to do. I look out in tonight, and you want to know who's committed in your church? Look around you. Just look at the people around you. You're the committed people. This is Wednesday night. You know, most churches don't even have church service on Wednesday nights, much less prayer meetings. And where's the prayer in churches today? Now, this is just Lanny Hap. Where is the prayer in the churches today? Where's the prayer? I've gone to a lot of churches, and I don't jump churches. You might think I do, but I don't jump churches, go from church to church to church. But I used to drive a bus for a quartet, and I preach a lot, and I sing a lot at different churches. And I go to a lot of churches, and they're dead as wood. Dead wood. It's terrible. The churches are full of dead people. And you don't know whether they're Christians or not. When you leave the church with a quartet and you go down to the local cafe or something, here's half the people sitting in the church. You wouldn't dream they just left church. And you wouldn't dream, by the way, ladies was dressed that they were even in church that Sunday morning. They don't go to church on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. Most people don't. I would dare say there was at least 35 churches in the 5-mile radius of this church right here that's got their doors shut tonight. Why? Why? Because they don't have committed people like we do in our church. We have committed people. I was counting the other day. We had four or five people that could play the piano at our church. Amen. We got two real good people. Brother Sam, I think, led singing before. Brother Arts has led singing. We got two or three people that could lead singing in our church. I would dare say that every man in this church tonight, I would rather him pray for me than most men I know that they call themselves preachers even sometimes. It's a sad shape the world's in today. I'd rather a committed person for Christ that loves the Lord pray for me than anybody else. And I'm going to read a letter to you tonight. Open your Bible up to Philemon. Philemon chapter 1. I'm going to read the first 7 verses. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because thy bowels of the saints are refreshed in thee, brother. This is Paul addressing a letter to Philemon. And Paul doesn't usually address letters. It's like Philemon was so committed to Christ that he was counted beloved by Paul. Now, there are some men in this church that I would love to say they would call me Brother Benny, because I respect a lot of men in this church. And there's a lot of men in this church that I know you respect me and Brother Tom and all the other men of this church. And I would think that even some of us would like for you to think highly of us, right? Wouldn't you like to think very highly of your pastor? I would get in a fist fight from my pastor, just letting you know that. I hope I don't ever do. I've had, but I would stand behind my pastor and any man in this church, because I know you're committed to this church and I know you're committed to the Lord. And when I get back to the prayer, Brother Artis, I love the way you pray on Wednesday nights. I would love to have Brother Artis pray for me. And I had a missionary call me one night, one Sunday, and said, Brother Benny, he said, I'm having heart surgery Monday, and I want you to ask Miss Summers to pray for me. Huh? I said, do what? He said, I want you to ask Miss Summers to pray for me. I said, Brother, I'll pray for you. I want Miss Summers to pray for me, because I know God answers her prayers. I know God answers her prayer. Now, wouldn't that be a good testimony for you today? Be so committed in the Lord and love the Lord so much in the 84, 85 years that you've been on earth, or the 62 years you've been here and serving the Lord the whole time, that somebody respects you enough to say, I want you to pray for me because I know the Lord answers your prayers. I know you're a committed Christian and a fellow worker in Christ. And that's what Paul is saying here. He's a fellow worker and he's a committed Christian. He said Philemon was so committed to Christ that he counted beloved by Paul himself. And even more than this, Paul calls him dearly beloved, a brother in the Lord who was held over so close to the heart of Paul. But even this is not all that Paul said. Paul said, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, announcing that he's a prisoner for Jesus Christ. But he said, my beloved. This is the most unusual opening for Paul. He usually opens his letters by establishing his apostleship, saying that he was Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ. Philemon must have been a dear friend of Paul. Paul must have thought a lot of Philemon, right? To call him dearly beloved, my fellow worker, my fellow Christian. I would love for somebody to say, Brother Benny, I love you as a Christian and as a brother in Christ, because no, there's nothing higher than that. What was that first song we sung, Brother Sam? It Will Be Worth It All? Yes, brother, we need to be so committed that the song would apply to us. It will be worth it all. One day We're going to go to heaven and we're going to be with Jesus. No matter how long, how hard you commit your life to the church, no matter how long or how hard you commit your life to God or to Jesus or to this, or the pastor or the people working at this church, no matter how hard you commit it, it will be worth it all. One day it's going to be worth it all. All the pain we go through, all the sorrow, the crying for sinners and the lost, going out handing out gospel tracts, inviting people to church, singing and lifting your voices up to God, and living the life we should live as a Christian. It will be worth it all one day when we see Jesus. Man, that's going to be a great day when I see Jesus. It's going to be a great day. And I know I'm going to see Jesus because I'm saved. I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. This is the most unusual and open. I read that already. Philemon must have been a dear friend of Paul's, a friend who recognized God's call to Paul, a friend who loved and supported Paul so much that Paul did not have to establish his call to the ministry for Philemon. Philemon was a beloved friend and supported Paul all the way. And Paul also supported Philemon in verse 1 and 2, right? We got a little board tonight, yeah. John 13:34. Open your Bibles, John 13. Or you can just read it on the screen. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that they are my disciples, if you have love one to another. What are we supposed to do as Christians today? Love one another. Are we supposed to get a knife and stab them in the back?
No.
No way, right? We're supposed to love one another. If Brother David goes off on the wrong track, something, I should go, Brother David, and talk to him. Look, brother, you're doing something wrong. There's a guy on Facebook the other day. I don't get on Facebook very much, but I get on there sometimes, and there was a young man that came up through our school. He got saved at our school. He graduated from our school. And well, we actually got saved at a Good News Club. My wife and I started up in Jackson, and he was on Facebook the other day, and he called me up not too long after. He said, "Brother Benny, I quit my job." I said, "Do what?" "I quit my job." He'd been working the same place for over 8 years. I said, "You got a wife and 3 kids. Why'd you quit your job?" "Well, I got another job. It's going to be a better job than what I got." I said, "Well, your boss was a Christian where you were. Is your boss a Christian now?" "No." "Well, don't you know that you need to have a Christian boss?" "Yes, sir, I do." I said, "By the way, when did you quit your job?" He told me. I said, "I saw something on Facebook that you shouldn't have put on Facebook the other day." He said, "I'm Brother Benny. I know." Correct them. Sometimes they don't know they're doing wrong. We need to tell them, "Look, I saw something on Facebook you put on Facebook, and you shouldn't have put that on there. You're running around with the wrong crowds again. You're a Christian. You're supposed to be going to church on Sundays and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. If your church don't have church on Wednesday nights, come to my church." Amen. I had a young man the other day, right on Facebook, a friend of mine, he's a Pentecostal. And he said, "Can somebody tell me where they have church on Wednesday nights? My church don't have church on Wednesday nights anymore." I wrote him back and said, "I have church. We have church on Wednesday nights." He texted me, you know how you do that stuff on Facebook. I don't do it too good. We had one of them little conversation at bottom right-hand corner. I said, I go to church on Wednesday night. You can come to church with me. And you know what I believe? "Yeah, Brother Beanie, I know what you believe." "Well, why don't you come to church with me?" Okay. And then somebody else got him behind him with a conversation and all this kind of stuff. And you know how that goes. I would love to get my Pentecostal friends to church here. You know, there's things that they believe that we don't believe, but hey, get them in church. They don't have church on Wednesday nights. Why not come visit my church? Yeah. Visit the Lord that I have. Yeah. I don't have to speak in tongues to be saved. Yeah. You do. But you can come to my church anyway. I don't care. I don't care if you're red, yellow, blue, green, or black. You can come to my church. Amen. I know churches that won't even let black people in their churches. And that's a shame, because the Lord Jesus came and died for everybody, not just the white people. He died for everybody, all races. Man. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Hebrews 13:1. Let brotherly love continue. We don't need to stop our brotherly love. When somebody does something wrong in the church, we shouldn't shy them or turn our backs to them. That's when they need to love the most. That's when they need us to care for them and pray for them. That's when we need our brother Artis or brother Tom or brother Jack or brother Scott praying for you. Man, that's when we need our prayer warriors. Don't stab them in the back. Love them. Let them be a Christian servant for them. In 1 Peter 1:22, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. You know what a pure heart is? Y'all just had the Lord's Supper here a while back, and I wasn't able to attend it with you. But when you partake of the Lord's Supper, man, you need to be careful when you do that. You need to have a pure heart when you partake of the Lord's Supper. You need to be on your knees praying. Humble yourself before the Lord. Lord, give me a pure heart. Lord, I'm saved, but I still sin. I still do things wrong. Protect me, Lord, from your sins. And when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we should be pure. We should have a pure heart, just as if we just got saved. When we just ask Jesus Christ to come in our hearts, and our heart is clear and cleansed, as white as snow, as the wordless book says, we should have that kind of heart all the time for our brethren and love them and pray for them. And that's what Paul was doing. He was praying for Philemon. Philemon was so committed to Jesus Christ that he was counted beloved by Paul himself. Number two, Philemon was so committed to Christ that he was a laborer for Christ. He served Christ diligently. He labored so diligently that Paul calls him a fellow bearer. He was working so faithfully for Christ and Paul that Paul could acknowledge his labor and count him a fellow laborer, as working as diligently as Paul himself for the cause of the Lord. What about you tonight? Are you working so diligently? Can somebody can call you that? You're really working diligently for the Lord, or are you just on sometime and off sometime? They had a crazy TV show on a while back. I didn't even watch all of it. Called Click, I think it was. And the guy had a remote control. He could turn somebody off and turn them on. Click, click, click. That's the way a lot of Christians are nowadays. On Sunday morning, you clicked on, and right after church, you clicked off. Sunday night, you clicked on. Right after church, you clicked off. What happens in between? What's your life like in between churches? In between church services on Sunday morning, Sunday nights? Mine's sleeping. I like to go to bed when I get home from church on Sunday morning. I like to get in my recliner and prop my feet up and snore. I even wake myself up snoring sometimes. That's the way it is. Sunday is my day of rest too, just like everybody else's. I love to do that. But a lot of people, between church services, they go do things they shouldn't do. Or they read books they shouldn't watch. They watch something on TV they shouldn't watch. Click on, click off, click on, click off. We don't need to be click-on, click-off Christian. We need to be a Christian 24-7. We need our electricity turned on all the time. Don't let energy in your house anymore. Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if we had that many church services in our area and houses? Our churches, our buildings are empty. Why don't we have them in a house somewhere? Our church buildings are empty, and the ones that's got people in them, is the people that run them are lost and dying and going to hell. I heard a preacher say one time that the Lord unwrote Ichabod over a church door one day. I said, you know, that's pretty bad. We need to start standing up for Christ in our churches today. I'm not talking about grace. All the churches. We need to stand up for Christ. We need to be so committed that everybody in the neighborhood, that we're so committed for Christ, and that one day we're going to die and we're going to go to heaven, and isn't it going to be worth it all? Amen. Man, I can't believe the people today, they don't even know what it's like to be saved. I hear people say, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I'm a Christian. And they're stumbling down the road. Prove to me you're a Christian. People say, well, I even hear politics say, I'm a Christian, but they vote for abortion. I'm a Christian, but they vote for gay rights. I'm a Christian. What's going on? How can you be a Christian? I'm a Christian, but I'm a woman pastor and a lesbian in the church. What? How can you be a woman pastor and a lesbian in the church and be a Christian? That's beyond me. I cannot understand that. Just can't understand it. We got problems in America today. We need churches to stand up. We need the church, the people in the churches to stand up and be committed for Christ. Be committed. Be a fellow laborer and love each other and not try to put each church down. We need to love each other. And looking at verse 3, it said, I'm just on verse 3, Brother Tom. We need grace and peace. Grace and peace. Let's go ahead and go to 4 and 5. The testimony of Philemon. Paul says, I thank God for you. Imagine have a testimony so strong in the Lord that Paul would thank God for you. Man, how strong is your testimony tonight? Is people saying thank God for you tonight? I thank God for the men in this church and the ladies in this church. And then I thank God for my mother-in-law and my wife. And even though you just can't thank God enough for some people. Man. We need to thank God for the people in our churches and the things that they do. Our piano players and that's so faithful that comes to church on Sunday mornings, and our youth people and our choir director and I just, the Sunday school teacher, that just goes on and on and on and on. Man, we got a great group of people. We need to share it with other people diligently. I would like Paul to say something to me about me like that. Man, that would be great, wouldn't it? His testimony was so strong that it stirred Paul to pray for him, not just every now and then, but what did he say? Always. His testimony was steeped in love. His testimony was steeped in faith. The prayer that Philemon needed, this is actually the prayer that every strong believer needs. The verse is somewhat complex because it has so much packed into one verse. Simply stated, I'm talking about verse 6 now. Paul is asking God to help Philemon to share his faith more and more effectively. Every good thing. It is those good things that Paul prays for others to acknowledge and desire in his own life. What are these good things? Can somebody tell me what the good things are? Fruit of the Spirit. Sir? Love and faith. Love, joy, peace, faith, meekness, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Wow. Isn't that great? Man. The good things which also include life, both abundant and eternal life, and the glorious hope of living forever in a new heaven and new earth. When unbelievers see the world in you, they want it. I was telling the guys in the jail the other night that they don't need to quit hunting. We got what they need. They don't need to quit. They don't need to drink and dope up and everything else because we got what they need. If they would just let us share Him with them, we have it. We have the answer to their problems. They don't need to go into alcohol and all that stuff. Just read your Bible and pray. That's what God wants us to do. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. That's in Acts 4:20. I'm trying, Brother Tom. I have a bunch more verses, but I guess I'll stop there. Miss Summer said, Manny, when you get started, you got to have a beginning sentence and an ending sentence. And my ending sentence is about two more pages down. So, this summer, I don't have an ending sentence tonight. But I just want you to know that I love y'all. And I feel all of y'all in this church is committed for God. And I feel that if there's any more commitment could be got out of you, Brother Tom will do it. But you don't do it for Brother Tom, you do it for God. You don't read your Bible and study and pray and sing in a choir and teach Sunday school and lead singing and play the piano. Well, you might because it's your daddy, but I'm talking to girls in the back. But you don't do it for Brother Tom or Brother Benny or Brother Artis. You do it for the Lord. Because you're committed to serve the Lord. You're committed to live for Him. You're committed by faith to do what the Lord wants you to do. And one day, Brother Tom, it will be worth it all.